Night. Woo. This is you're gonna have to give me a minute. This is a little it's a little surreal. As Pastor Drew talked about, I've been coming here almost 15 years, and this has secretly been a dream of mine for probably been a decade. Pastor Drew had done a workshop once before, and I had always struggled to write the messages. I could do things that didn't, I don't want to say didn't mean a lot, but I could pull things out of scripture, but when it came to my own experience, when it came to my own heart, I really couldn't do it. And the truth is, you're going to hear tonight part of why that is. We've been going through a very, very powerful study, Knowing God. And it's weird, as we've been going through it, the more I read it, the more this message sounds like it. But it had nothing to do with it. I don't know why this happened. But these, I can tell you this, these are hard learned lessons, and they work. So I'm asking you to listen to this tonight and just let God work in you. Because this, if you get these right, they'll change your life. They will absolutely change your life. You know, guys, let's face it, the Christian life is not an easy one. But how many of us can really say we have an easy life? Even the rich and famous and beautiful, they have their share of problems. All you have to do is look at Hollywood and all their marriages and divorces and losses to know just how obvious that is. Yet so many of us turn to things such as money, possessions, status, and praise as refuges from the storm and struggles in life. We have all put our faith and trust in something other than God, only to be left flat when that thing fails us. For some of us, it's trusting in our finances. Maybe our pensions or 401ks are what we trusted in that we believe would bring us peace and security in troubled times. For some of us, it's a relationship. Maybe you believe that another person could carry the weight of your fears and uncertainty. Maybe you got married or had a child, hoping that this relationship or connection would finally ease the fears that we all carry so deep inside, only to be left brokenhearted when those hopes fell apart. You see, these things aren't bad inherently, but they're not the source of our true peace. True peace can only be found in one place: our relationship with God and living the way he calls us to live. As we read in Matthew 6:33, Jesus instructs us to seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give us everything we need. This was a tough one for me. This verse is actually my life verse. And it was not a simple thing to except it was probably one of the hardest verses in my life. But when I found it, I found peace. And peace is something we so desperately require. And Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. So it stands to reason that if we obey this instruction, then peace is going to be part of that result. So how do we live out this commandment? What's it look like? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The first step is a step I like to call no. I'm sorry, I did not write these out. I should have. Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to build something from, say, from IKEA or Home Depot or something, and it didn't quite turn out the way you planned? Maybe your clothes tree didn't have enough arms on it. Or maybe there was a couple extra parts left when you were done. Chances are, if you're anything like me, or any of the other men that I know, it's because you didn't read the instructions. Whenever we're faced with something that we don't necessarily understand, or maybe just haven't been exposed to, the instructions are our best friend. Well, what if I told you that God left us instructions for how to live our lives? You see, there are multiple ways in which we can learn about God and his teachings, but the most critical, beyond anything else, is God's word, the Bible. You see, the Bible is so critical because it is the only source of objective truth that we have. no matter what changes in this world, no matter what changes in our lives, the Bible remains the same. The Bible is by far the most accurate, historically accurate, and painstakingly copied ancient text in the history of humankind. But what's that mean for us? What it means is essentially that we can rely on it completely as a source of direction and wisdom in our daily lives. When the Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we can believe it. When the Bible tells us that God is working together all things, not just the pretty things, all things for our good to those of us who love him and who have been called according to his purpose, you can believe it. When it tells us that we are created in his image, we can believe it. But guys, if you don't know what the Bible says about you or a situation you're in, how in the world are you going to respond to it? We can't. We can also increase our ability to know God through our time spent with our fellow believers. You see, God created us to have communion with one another. And the church is designed by God to meet that need. You know, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, if you'll forgive the pun, because you're already here. You've dedicated your Saturday nights to listening to the Word of God and to interacting with one another. And I'm so thankful for literally each and every one of you. We were, I don't want to give away the men who haven't done the study yet, but part of what we're going to be studying this week is about how God designed the church for every person in it to be a part of it. Here, we are specifically designed to be a part of this church. And I believe 100% that these interactions that we have and the time that we spend together, they're nothing short of divine. In fact, in Proverbs 27, verse 17, Scripture confirms this for us. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens one another. See, God has used people throughout his entire creation plan to reveal aspects about himself, to reveal his will, as well as opportunities for us to grow, both personally and spiritually. Guys, I do have to warn you here, because this can get off track. Because the truth is, we're all human. Even the best of us fail to struggle to be godly examples to those of us around us. We must always be diligent to filter our experiences and the things that we learn through God's word. That's why it's so critical to be in it every day. Because we can so easily learn a truth that's not true. It has to come from Scripture or it just does not work. Finally, the often most powerful and most misunderstood way of getting to know God is through prayer. Oh my goodness. You see, prayer is it's often misunderstood. It's not seen for what it truly is. You see, prayer is a two-way communication with God himself. Think about that for a second. We have direct access to God himself, and he speaks to us. The truth is, he always answers us. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's be patient. I'm still waiting. That one's not the fun one for me. Now, this doesn't always look the same for everybody. It can look as, you know, it might not look as simple as a cell phone call. Everybody wants instant gratification, but it can. Sometimes it's just between you and God. It's what you experience with him. The truth is that this can look different for everybody, just like a personal relationship between two people looks different. But it's so critical to always be trying. We are called to pray without ceasing. And that is something that I've struggled very hard to do in my life, because the words of God are where our source of truth and wisdom comes from. I do have to warn you here as well, there is a danger as well. This is something that takes time, guys. This is something that you really, really have to work at. And you must always filter the feelings and the words that you get from God through the Bible. Always, always, I know it's hard. I'm sorry I keep harping on this, but it's the truth. It is the only place that will never change. So once again, it's why it's so critical to be in the Word. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never tell you to do something that's in opposition of what he says in his word. You know, these concepts seem kind of obvious to most people, that they should just be a part of our daily lives. But the truth is, this doesn't come natural. Honestly, this didn't come naturally to me. You see, I struggled to truly know God for years, decades, if I'm straight with you. You know, the whole seeking God first thing, it just didn't work for me because I couldn't see him for who he truly was. When the words seek first the kingdom of God came up instead of a desire to obey, the only thing that came out of me was anger. Who did this God think he was? He didn't have any right to demand this of me. For most of my life, God reigned somewhere between a selfish child and an arrogant bully. He wanted all the benefits and all the praise, but when the troubles came, he was gone. When the darkness closed in around me and my dreams fell apart, I felt like he was not to be found. You know, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home, and I had fantastic parents. I still do. And they took me to church every Sunday. And I tried my best to do what God wanted, but it had nothing to do with any kind of love for God. The truth is, I just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was real and that the consequences for not being one of his followers were more than I was willing to take. So I would follow him. I would do what he tried, what he wanted me to do. But it was not because I love him. I truly believe that I was saved the entire time. But the truth is, it's just how I avoided consequences. It wasn't until I dug into the word. It wasn't until I dug into God and relied on him that this all changed. You see, guys, I knew who God was, but I didn't know him inside for who he truly deeply was. You see, this is what I implore you to know him when I say that. When you read the words of the Bible, when you hear them spoken on Saturday night, when you sing about the never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love of God, please don't leave it there. Don't let these things be words on your lips or words on a page. Dig into them. If God doesn't feel loving to you, ask yourself why. Ask him why. Get on your knees and beg the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the true nature of who God is. Guys, sometimes this takes years. Sometimes this takes decades. I'm still working on this one. But when you get it, when it's real, it changes everything. The Christian walk is no longer a set of rules and rewards and consequences. It now becomes a desperate, passionate pursuit out of a love for a God who did more for me and more for you than you could ever repay. And if you don't see him that way, this will always be a struggle. Your Christian walk will always be a fight. That's what my hope for you this week is, that you make this real. Guys, take the time to hear and read a passage of scripture and accept it as true and genuine. Let those words that you read change your heart and change your mind. I told you how critical it is that we have a personal relationship with God through Bible study, godly interactions, and prayer. And it's essential for our lives, but once we accept him and know him, we have to allow him to change us from the inside out. We know him as God, but we need to make him our Lord. See, once we begin to understand who God is, through reading his word and diligently making it real, he will begin to challenge the way we think and live. He will challenge us to do things we never thought possible, like loving our enemy or putting somebody else first. But the truth is, guys, there's one two-letter word where the Christian walk gets really hard, and that's no. How many of you like hearing that word? How many of us, the second somebody tries to tell us no, our backs are up and we're ready to fight? For those of you who are blessed with children, let me paint you a little picture. You're walking through Walmart with your precious little gift from God alongside you. You're heading towards the tool aisle or the garden section to fix whatever stupid thing broke. And you realize all of a sudden, as you're walking with your precious little gift, that you have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, also known as the toy aisle. Your hands start to sweat and your pulse quickens because you know shortly you are about to be bombarded with brightly colored pieces of plastic junk that your child is going to be desperate for. And you're gonna have to say no. And you know what's probably about to happen. Your precious little gift from heaven is about to become a little slice of the other place when they have a meltdown in the middle of the aisle. So even if you don't have kids and haven't had this firsthand, I'm sure we've all seen it. So why does a child respond this way? They've already got so much. Come on, this is America. We've got everything. But something inside them just snaps when they can't have what they want. But let's be honest, guys. Are we really any better when God tells us no? When God tells us that something in our lives needs to change, how do we respond? You see, the truth is, as you study the Word of God and learn what he has to say about a given subject, there's a real good chance that something's going to come up. And it's going to make you react. And it's probably not going to be pretty. Most of the time, it's something that's near and dear to our hearts. Maybe it's something you didn't even realize was wrong. But God reveals to you that it's not in his will. All of a sudden, we go from thinking God is so incredible and wise and amazing to, what are you thinking, God? You gotta be kidding me. You want me to love who? Did you see what that guy did? You want me to do what? You want me to go where? What are you thinking? Interestingly enough, as often happens in God's word, he answers us. In Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 and 9, he gives us our answer. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So what's God saying to us in these verses? Well, not to put too fine a point on it, but essentially here's the way I read it. Sorry, guys, I just don't do things the way you do. I know these things I'm doing, they don't make sense to you. But I promise you, I've got this all under control. It may not be pretty or fun, and you probably don't think it seems fair. But you can't see the whole picture like I can. I don't know about you, but when I look at the struggles and the heartaches in this life, especially my own, I have a hard time accepting this. I want to fight against him and say, God, you just don't understand. See, so many times in our lives, that's exactly what we do. We basically tell God to forget it, and we go off and do our life the way we want to. But the results are always the same. We end up brokenhearted, frustrated, miserable and alone, just broken for the time that we wasted. See, this is what I mean when I tell you my second point, no. Is you need to be able to, in order to have a peaceful Christian walk, you've got to be able to say no to yourself and say yes to God, no matter how illogical or insane it might sound to you. Guys, I can never fully explain to you the feeling when you do this. You see, when you choose to let God take the lead in your life, all of a sudden, the pressure's off you. All you have to do is do what God has called you to do, and He's responsible for everything else. There's no more struggling and stressing, trying desperately to figure out how to make your life go the way you want. When things don't work out, then it wasn't supposed to work out. And I can tell you this from experience, that God has a different and better plan for you. Your life is better in His hands than it is in your own. For those of you still wrestling with this one, I want to bolster your spirits a little bit. First of all, obviously, you're not alone. We need only think of Adam and Eve to remember how every single person since the dawn of creation has reacted when God's told them no. Secondly, you've got help in these moments. Everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit inside of them. And He intercedes for you with God, and He helps to grow you, and He helps to change your heart and your mind. And lastly, guys, this one takes time. As you study the Word and pray, your relationship with God and your trust in Him deepens. As it becomes so much easier to accept that He knows better than you. He may still give you your dream, or He might not. But when you truly understand who God is, and when you truly understand what your purpose on this earth is for, you will be able to trust Him no matter what. You see, that's the challenge I've got for you this week. It's pretty straightforward. When it comes to a situation that you don't understand, assume God's right. Take the chance and trust that what He says will happen is gonna happen. When He asks you to help somebody, but you don't have the time or you don't want to, guys, I'm begging you, do it. When you hear something on the news that frustrates you or upsets you, trust that God is still in control. Guys, do yourself a favor. Take God at His word and act on it. I can promise you, you will be so glad you did. So I've shared about how critical our relationship with God is to peace in the Christian walk. And we know that we must be willing to put what He wants first in our lives. And finally, we come to the purpose of it all, and that's to go. Part of seeking God's kingdom first in our lives is to go out into this world and show them the difference that God has made in your life, to help others experience the peace you have found. You see, this is where the proverbial rubber meets the road. You know, there's an old saying that's always rung true for me. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We can have all the knowledge and the wisdom in the world, but if it doesn't spur us to love others around us, guys, it's worthless. God has designed us to be lights in other people's lives. In fact, Jesus Himself said in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are My disciples, when you love one another." We have a direct order from God Himself telling us that if we want to be a disciple of His, we need to love one another. So what does biblical love look like? We all know the definition that we use in the church, but for those of you who haven't heard it, it is to want the best for someone else at our own expense. Guys, love is never free. Whether it's time or money or simply our pride, love always costs the giver. But I like to look at it as an investment. You see, the love that you give here will be rewarded in heaven. We're promised that in God's word. How many of you are familiar with the story of Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot was a missionary in the 1950s who had a passion to reach the Huarani, or the Awka, in Ecuador. This was not your average people group to reach. You see, these people had a reputation for being violent and dangerous. They had killed outsiders that had come. Not to mention that this place was so remote that the only access they had to the village at first was through airplane. But this did not deter Elliot or his companions. The five of them proceeded to fly over the village for months, dropping gifts and speaking to the people over a loudspeaker they had mounted on the plane. After a few months of what seemed like a welcome response from the people, the men decided to build a base camp a short distance from the village. It seemed great. A small group of Aka came in, two women and a man, and their first interaction was awesome. They shared a meal, and they even took the man up that they called George. They took him up in their plane. These men tried so desperately to show God's love to these people. And they thought it was working. The people left, and the missionaries waited. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, five. Finally, on the sixth day, after no one had been returning for a long time, they saw some returning. There were two women coming towards them. But they didn't look very happy. The men ran across the river to meet the women, to show them God's love. But what they didn't see were the Awka warriors standing behind the women with spears raised over their heads. Jim Elliot and his four fellow missionaries, they knew this was the end. I never knew this, but Jim was armed. He could have taken all of them down in an instant, but they chose before they ever set foot on that soil that they would not take the life of an Awka, no matter what happened. Because Jim and those four men knew where they were going, and they knew where the Awka would go if they took their lives. So they chose to sacrifice their lives. They chose to take the hard road out of love for those people because they knew it was the only chance they'd ever have. And guys, that story could have ended right there with those men lying on the beach. But in true God fashion, it didn't. 2 years later, Jim Elliot's wife and daughter and one of the sons of the pilot returned to the Awka, and it was very different this time. They brought them in, they loved them, and now a vast majority of the people and of the Awka people in Ecuador are now Christians. They have abandoned their violent ways, and they have changed completely because of the sacrifice of love that Elliot and those men did. Gang, choosing to live a life is not easy. It always costs us something. Sometimes it costs us everything. But it's so critical to living this Christian life because we're no longer living for ourselves. That's my desire for you this week, that in some small way, you would choose to love someone you come in contact with. Guys, love can be shown in so many ways. There are just about as many ways to love as there are people in this world. It can be as simple as holding your tongue when someone hurts you. It can be as grand as giving someone a car or a place to stay when someone's in need. Guys, this is a lost and broken world. And I can almost guarantee you that at some point this week, you're going to get the chance to do this. I'm pleading with you. Take that chance. There's no peace in the world like living the way God designed. I'm going to call up the worship leaders, and we're gonna sing a song that's very dear to me. Guys, this all boils down really to one thing, and that's knowing God for who he truly is. And one of the greatest descriptions that God has for himself is your Father. I lost my father last year after 93 years of serving God wholeheartedly. I was blessed as his son. He was a beautiful orator. He was a beautiful speaker. But what he did best was love one another, was love people. And I don't know if you had a father like that, but I can promise you, if you didn't, that God is the perfect Father. And as you learn to trust him and love him, this life makes sense. I'm just begging you to get to know him. You will not regret it. God bless you.
When Caleb told me that he was going to write a message, I asked him what he was going to write about. He said, I'm going to write about how to find peace in your life. Find peace in your heart. How to be able to handle all of the turmoil and chaos going on. And he came up with this incredibly smart and easy to remember plan. No, go. You want to find peace in your life? Is your life not peaceful? Number one, you got to know Jesus Christ. You've got to. If there was another way, I would tell you. But there's not. That means you have to confess to him that you have not been connected with him. In fact, you've been doing the things you shouldn't be doing. And ask him to forgive you. Ask him to envelop you and wash your sins clean, give you the Holy Spirit inside of you, and become the new leader of your life. That's how you find peace. People think it's the opposite. They think it's knowing themselves, letting themselves be God. That's not what's going to bring peace. You want to find peace in your life, you got to be able to say no to your game plan and yes to God's game plan, because he is a good, good father. He knows better. Yeah, but, I get all the buts. We've all been there. You want to find your life? Give it away. Give it to Jesus. You will find your life. And lastly, now go out into the world. Go where he sends you. You may be scared at first, but you'll find that when you get there, he's right there alongside of you. And you're glad you're there because you have that opportunity to work with him. And you know he's there. It may be going into your family. It may be going to a very close family member. It may be going to a stranger. It may be going to a coworker. But go where he asks you to go. Because God has a plan that he's working out, and he asks us, get involved in it. That will actually not bring turmoil to your life, no anxiety. It'll bring peace. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for tonight, and I pray that you would continue to lead us forward as you call us into this incredible journey, this incredible epic that each of us are writing with our life. Help us to know you better, Lord, and to be intentional about getting to know you. Lord, help us to be quick to say yes to your plan, no to our plan. And help us to always follow wherever you lead. Even that means getting off the couch and coming to church on Saturday night, or going to see someone you want us to talk to, or going to Bible college, even when you're working. Because one day, God may just put you in front of people who need to hear from you. Now, Lord, be with us as we spend the next 5 minutes just enjoying one another's company. And then ultimately, as we head out to the roads, keep us strong through the weekdays. Thank you for what you've done for us tonight. And thank you for Caleb Dean. In Jesus' name, amen.